Get your Bible and turn to, let's see, Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6 in one hand, and then Ephesians. Hebrews chapter 6 and Ephesians 4 in the other hand. The last couple of Wednesday nights, we have been dealing with defining meanings of words in the Bible. Sometimes we dealt with how you define words by finding similar words that are in the passage. Sometimes it'll define it that way. Sometimes, like we dealt with last week, we showed you where we found one word in the New Testament. For instance, the word gospel. And then we went to the Old Testament where that verse was being quoted from, and you'll find the definition. If anybody remember, the definition of gospel is good news. It doesn't matter where you find the word gospel, it always means good news. What you have to figure out when you're reading the Bible is find out good news about what? It could have been good news about the kingdom of heaven. It could be the good news that the Savior is born. It could be the good news of the death, burial, and the resurrection. It could be the good news of the tribulation that Babylon is fallen. Babylon, that great city, and so on and so forth. There's all kinds of good news, gospels, throughout the Bible. We have this misconception. We think the Bible was just written to us. We think we're just that important. That the whole Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, was just written for just us. But there are other people that that Bible is talking to in other ages. What part of the Bible is the people going to read that gets left behind after the rapture? What part of the Bible are they going to read? What part of the Bible is to them? Well, I can tell you, the book of Hebrews and the book of James will help them get through the tribulation period. Now, that does not mean by any means that we are to tear out Hebrews and James and all of that stuff. No. All the Bible is for us, but all the Bible may not be to us. And so that's why that important scripture, 2 Timothy 2:15, comes into play. And you ought to know it by now. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. If there's a right way to divide it, there's a wrong way to divide it. And that is why we have so many messed up folks all throughout the land that do not know how to rightly divide the Bible. Well, we dealt with the word gospel. Gospel, the good news. We went through all the Bible talking about gospel. Then we dealt with the word saved. Anytime you find the word saved, no matter where you find it, it means to be delivered. To be delivered. Then what you have to figure out in the Bible, when you find the word saved, saved, delivered from what? You got a lady over there in Timothy, delivered in childbirth. That does not mean she got saved from hell. That means she's delivered in childbirth. Matthew 24, 13, he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. That's not delivered from hell. That is delivered through the tribulation period physically, and so on and so forth. So, the definition means the same, but the context will tell you good news about what, or delivered from what. Now, tonight, we are fixing to look at one of the most controversial words in all the Bible. Let me show you what I mean. What is the first thing that pops into your mind? First thing. Don't even think about it. Just the first thing that pops in your mind. You don't have to say it out loud. Just think it. The first thing that pops in your mind when I say the word baptism. The first thing that popped in Brother Charles' mind is amen. The first thing that pops in your mind when I say the word baptism. Now, by a show of hands, and it's, you know, it'll be because a lot of us do it. By the show of hands, how many of you thought the first thing that popped in your mind was back here? Let me see your hand. First thing that popped in your mind. All over the room. All over the room. We have been programmed to think Anytime in the Bible we see the word baptism, it means there. And anytime we see the word water in the Bible, it automatically means baptism. That's not always true. And so tonight, I want to show you there is more than just that. There are, let me get my grammar correct, there are more important ones than that. And let me give you, I tell you what, let's just look at the Bible. Are you at Hebrews chapter number 6? All right, look at verse 1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. Verse 2, of the doctrine of baptisms. Is there an S on your baptisms? So there's more than one. All right. Let me show you what a world of mess we get into. Ephesians chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 6 says, the doctrine of baptisms, plural. Ephesians chapter 4. This is why everybody wants a new version. Ephesians 4:4. There is one body and one spirit, even as you are called into one hope of your calling. Verse 5, one Lord, one faith, one what? Now I am totally confused. One verse says there's doctrines, or doctrine of baptisms, and then Ephesians tells me there ain't but one. Now what are we going to do now? Well, you've got two choices. You can go down to the bookstore and tell them that you've got a mistake in your Bible and that you want another translation that fixes that problem, and you need somebody to retranslate that and fix that problem because there's a mistake in the Bible and you need a new Bible. Or you can determine already in your mind that Bible is true whether I understand it or not. And I've got to study to show myself approved unto God because the answer is in there. God just wants me to study to find out what the answer is. Those are your two choices. And those are your only two choices. You're either a Bible believer or a Bible corrector. Sometimes we run across a verse like that, it throws us for a loop when we can't answer it right off. And then so we go hunting and we go searching for Dr. Doolittle and see what he says about it. And he'll run to the Greek and the Hebrew and change this, that, and the other. And then we're more confused than we was when we started. Or we'll look at where we graduated from college and we'll look at see what the professor's notes said about it. Instead of seeing what the Bible says about it. Now, let's start. And let's look. We're going to go through the Bible and give you just a few of them. We'll do as many as we can. And I want you to go, take your Bible, turn to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We'll see the first one. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Now, if we can get all of this down in our mind and down in our hearts, we'll never be shaken about this word baptism ever again. If you can get this straight in your mind and see what the Bible says about it, and know beyond a shadow of a doubt there are more than one, but then Ephesians tells us, in our age that we live in, there ain't but one real one that matters to us. But there are others, according to Hebrews, all through the Bible. But Ephesians says there ain't but one that matters to you and I. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 1. Moreover, brethren, saved people, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. Who's he talking about? He's talking about Moses leading the people of Israel out of the land of Egypt, right? They crossed the Red Sea. God parted the Red Sea. They walked across on what kind of ground? Dry ground. All right. Verse 2 says, and we're all what? Unto who? In the cloud and in the sea. Now, here we have a baptism that happened in the Old Testament. Get the story. You got the people of Israel walking. Here they got water in front of them. I know what you're thinking. Oh, I told you, water, a baptism always means water. Oh, really? Got water in front of them. God, stand still, see the salvation of the Lord. Water parts. Y'all with me? Dry ground. Walls of water on both sides of them. What did the Bible say was over top of them? What's in clouds? You with me? Are y'all with me? You got water above. You got water on both sides. And they're walking on dry ground. Question, did anybody get wet? There's water on both sides. There's water overhead. And the Bible says they were baptized unto Moses. No water, or there was water, but nobody got into the water unless one of them kids, what I would have done, would have run down that wall of water and just stuck their hand down there like this. I'd have done that. I'd have been sprinkled, but I wouldn't have got baptized all the way under. Can you imagine? I really don't have time to mess with this, but my mind just... Can you imagine that wall? How many has ever been to the aquarium in Chattanooga? The aquarium in Gatlinburg or Pigeon Forge? That ain't nothing, people. God had a walk-through aquarium way before Gatlinburg. Can you imagine? That wall, and they're just like, man, look at that. Look at that catfish. You see what? Y'all know it happened. It ain't in there, but it probably happened. Nobody got wet. But what is the definition of the word baptism? Watch. Baptism in the Bible always means immersed. These people were immersed. They had water over top of them. They had water all around them. But none of them got wet, and they were immersed, encased in this situation, and they walked across on dry ground. And the Bible says they were baptized unto Moses. Isn't that odd? Now, let's look at another one. Look, if you will, to Matthew chapter number 3. Matthew chapter number 3. Now, what we learned by 1 Corinthians is that baptism don't always mean water. But baptism always means immersion. What you got to figure out when you find the word baptism, you automatically know, okay, it means immersion. But immersed into what is the context will tell you. All right, Matthew. What am I doing in John? Matthew chapter 3. There's a fella preaching. He's got camel hair and locusts and wild honey. And in Matthew chapter 3, verse 1, in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And verse 6, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing there what? Well, let me stop. I don't have time to deal with this. But that ain't what you did when you got saved, I guarantee you. If y'all confessed all your sins before you got saved, you'd still be down here. So don't say, well, I confessed all my sins. No, you didn't. You'd still be down here. I'd still be down here. And I've been saved since I was 10. I'd still be down here. Are you with me? Okay. Now, verse number 11. John talking, I indeed baptize you with what? What's the word baptized mean? Always. Immerse. Now, here we find John the Baptist is baptizing, immersing them into what? All right. Unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I. Who's he talking about? Whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with what? And what? Is any water involved in the Holy Ghost or fire? So here in John chapter 3, you've got three different baptisms. You've got a baptism of John the Baptist. It is a Jewish baptism. An immersion into water. And you say, why does this nation of Israel, why do they need to be immersed in water? Well, you understand that the nation of Israel in the Old Testament were not where they needed to be with God. They were out of the will of God. They were out of the land. They were in captivity under Roman rule. Is everybody with me? They were not doing their sacrifices. They were not keeping the holy days like they were supposed to. They were not doing what God had commanded them to do. And so John the Baptist comes on the scene and says, nation of Israel, guess what? The Messiah is on his way. And listen, you need to repent. You need to change your heart, mind, and attitude toward the Messiah. You need to get your heart right and to show him we mean business. We need to show like the Old Testament priest did in purification with water. We need to do that symbolically. Why don't you come? Let me immerse you in water, pointing to the Messiah that's coming. You say, preacher, I don't believe that. Look at John chapter 1. John chapter 1. Let me show you. See, you've got to forget all of everything that somebody told you and read for yourself. John chapter 1. And look at verse 129. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and said, behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sins of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he is before me. Did we just not read that in Matthew? Verse 31. And I knew him not, but that he should be made what? To who? Therefore am I come what? With what? Why did John the Baptist baptize people in the nation of Israel into water? To manifest the Messiah to them. That's not why you were baptized. That's not why I was baptized. That's a different baptism. John's baptism is a different baptism than what we got. All right. Well, that's going over pretty good. But I got news for you, right? Mark her down and remember this one. And just whatever, if you want to argue about it after church, I'd love to. I'd love to. John the Baptist was not the first man that started the Baptist church. I got some other good news for you. John the Baptist was dead before the New Testament church started. You can't have the New Testament don't start until the death of the testator. Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9 says where a testament is, it forms after men are dead. When did the New Testament start? When Jesus Christ died upon the cross, that's when you read a will and testament. When somebody's dead. That's where the New Testament starts. You can't have a New Testament church until the New Testament comes in at the cross. That's just free and extra. But I get upset with people that can't read. I don't know much, but I do have learned and taught myself how to read a little. Now, all right, we got two baptisms. Now let's look at number three. Look at Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20. And I got some more good news for you. John the Baptist was not baptizing people saying, okay, we're getting ready for the Lord to die upon the cross, and he's going to be buried and rose again the third day, and that's what we're going to picture. So you come, let me baptize you, the death, burial, the resurrection. John didn't know about the death, burial, and resurrection. How was he going to baptize somebody about something that he didn't know about? All right. Matthew 20 and verse 22. But Jesus answered and said, ye know not what ye ask. Well, there's these disciples, they come. Look at verse 20. Then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshiping him and desiring a certain thing of him. And he said unto her, what wilt thou? She said unto him, grant that these my two sons may sit, the one on the right hand, the other on the left, in thy kingdom. Jesus answered and said, you know not what you ask. Are you able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of, and to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? They said unto him, we are able. Verse 23, he said unto them, ye shall drink indeed of my cup, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand or on my left is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them to whom it is prepared of my Father. You got a lady that shows up. She says, I want my son, two sons. I got one sit on the right, one sit on the left. I'd like for you to give me that favor. He says, okay, are you willing to drink of the cup that I'm going to have to drink? Are you willing to be baptized with the baptism that I am going to have to be baptized with? Without knowing what he was even talking about, they said, yeah, we're able to do it. Do you know what Jesus was referring to? Baptizing or baptism in the Bible always means what? What you got to figure out in the Bible is immersed into what? You know what Jesus was talking about? All right. He goes up to Calvary's Hill. Matter of fact, before he gets there, he's whipped with a cat of nine tails. They crucify him on the cross of Calvary. He looks up, says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He says, I thirst. What did Jesus Christ do on the cross of Calvary? Suffered. Will you agree with me that the baptism that Jesus is referring to is immersed into the death, the burial, and the resurrection, the suffering that's related to the cross of Calvary? He looked at them two boys. He said, are y'all willing to do that? They said, yep. You remember in the Garden of Gethsemane? He looked down into a cup. And he said, Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. You say, what the cup we're talking about? Inside that cup was the cup of sin. He was going to drink that bitter cup. He said, are y'all willing to drink that cup that I'm going to have to drink? Are you willing to be engulfed, immersed into the suffering that I'm going to have to be immersed with, baptized with? No water involved. Matter of fact, he said, I thirst. They wouldn't even give him any water. So you know there's not water within 600 miles of Matthew 20. Or 600 miles of the cross. He says, y'all willing? And he said, yep, we're willing. You know what? You read the Jewish historians, every one of them disciples died a horrible, horrible death. Peter died upside down, crucified. You better be careful saying you're willing to do something and you don't even know what you're agreeing to. Jesus said, all right, yeah, you're going to. Ain't that something? Let's look at Acts chapter number 2. We got a few more minutes. Acts chapter number 2. Acts chapter number 2. Lord, I ain't even got to. Let me hurry on this one. Acts chapter number 2. All right. Acts chapter number 2. Verse 5. Acts 2, verse 5. Is everybody there? And they're dwelling at Jerusalem. What? All right. Look at verse number 14. But Peter standing up with the who? 11 what? All right. Lifted up their voice and said unto them, ye men of what? And all them that dwell at where? All right. Look at verse 22. Ye men of? All right. And so Peter's a-preaching to them and this, that, and the other. And after the message, after Peter gets done preaching the message, verse 37. Now, when they heard this, who is the they? They were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the who? Men and brethren, what shall we do? Notice, it didn't say, what shall we do to be saved? It said, Peter just preached a message. You know what Peter's message was? You know what we just did? We just crucified the Messiah. We just crucified our King, the one that came to deliver us from Rome, and we crucified him on the cross. And son, he spends about 30-some-odd verses preaching to them, saying, we crucified the one that was here to bring in the kingdom and to deliver us from Rome and Caesar. And so the nation of Israel goes, okay, Peter, what do we need to do? What do you want us to do? Peter says, I want you to do the same thing John was trying to get you to do in Matthew chapter 3, and that's get right with God and to show Him how serious we are. I want you to baptize and be baptized in water for the remissions of sins. And one of these days on the Day of Atonement in the future at the second coming, He will wipe away and blot all our sins away. That's what he said in Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Then Peter said unto them, repent, be baptized, every one of you. You what? Then why is it at the break table at work, when you get to arguing and carrying on with somebody about a verse, and the first thing some people will run to when you're talking about getting saved, they say, well, you got to repent and be baptized in water to wash away your sins. My first question is, let me see your Jewish credentials. I mean, how much Jew blood you got in you? Oh, I'm not Jewish. Well, get out of the Jewish passage then. Go somewhere where a Gentile got saved and see what Peter or Paul tells them. See, it's real simple. Baptism don't always mean water. And water don't always mean baptism. You just got to understand there are different strokes for different folks. That's a movie or a show. All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. No, 1 Corinthians 12. I'm hurrying. I got 5 minutes. I can do it in 5 minutes. 1 Corinthians 12. You say, preacher, you have told us every baptism in the whole world and none of them have anything to do with us. Would you please tell us what's important to us? I don't care about the Jews. I don't care how they were supposed to do it. I want to know about me. All right? Fix your teeth. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Look at verse 1. Now concerning what? All right, verse 4. Now, there were diversity of gifts, but the same what? All right, verse 7. But the manifestation of the what? Spirit. Holy Spirit. Are you with me? Verse 12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one what? Holy Spirit. Okay. For by one Spirit. Are we all what? Into what? Whether we be Jew or Gentile, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one, what? Holy Spirit. For by one, now let me show you how a lot of preachers read it. For by one preacher that can trace his lineage all the way back to John the Baptist, and his baptismal certificate was signed by John the Baptist personally. For by one preacher that can trace his lineage all the way back there will baptize you into the local church. And when he baptizes you into the local church, that water is connected with the blood of Christ, and it washes all of your sins away. I know preachers that believe that. I got kin folks that believe that. Hallelujah. But what does the verse say? For by one what? Listen, when you got saved by God's marvelous grace, let's just, for instance, you came right down here to this altar, and you said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I'm a sinner. I'm lost. I'm dying. I'm going to hell. I want you to save me. You know what happens? Jesus Christ saves you right then. And what he does, the Holy Spirit comes down. You didn't see it, but he comes down from heaven. And he picks you up and puts you, baptized, immerses you into the body of Christ. You become a member of his body. I got news for you. You become a member of his body before you join any local church. And when a preacher tries to tell you that you have to come down here and I have to put you into the body by baptizing you in water, you just find you a window, pick that preacher up, and throw him out the window. Along with everything, all his notes and his Bible and everything else, and tell him to hit the road. Hallelujah. You say, preacher, that's ugly. No, it's time we start getting rid of some of this false doctrine. You didn't get to see it. Holy Spirit came down here when you got saved. If you was at home, here come the Holy Spirit. He picked you up, immersed you, engulfed you. No water involved. He immersed you into the body of Christ. Hallelujah. Now, there's another baptism, and we practice it. We practice it, and it is back here. And you know what it's used for? To show you a picture of what you didn't get to see the day you got saved. You didn't get to see the Holy Spirit come down and place you into the body. So, a person says, preacher, I just got saved. I want to testify to all these people. And I want to show them a picture of the death, burial, and the resurrection. I want to do what that Philippian jailer did, a Gentile, by the way, not a Jew. He was a Gentile in Acts 16. He said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? All them Jews in Acts 2 says, Peter, what do you want us to do about crucifying the Messiah? Peter said, repent and be baptized. Philippian jailer, Gentile like you and me, you and I, like us. Philippian jailer, what must I do to be saved? Now what did Paul, why didn't Paul say the same thing that Peter said? If it's the same thing, then they ought to be preaching the same thing. Paul said something totally different. He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And after you get saved, you want to show a picture of the death, burial, and the resurrection. And so the Philippian jailer got saved, but he was saved long before he got in the water. Hallelujah. Now, one more. It's 5 to 8. Hang on. There ain't but one more. Ain't no sense in quitting now. In Matthew 3, John said, I indeed baptize you with water into repentance. But there's one coming after me that's mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He, when he comes, he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with what? If you get saved by God's marvelous grace, the Holy Spirit will baptize you into the body by the Holy Spirit. If you refuse to get saved and you tell God no and reject God and reject Him and reject Him and reject Him and reject Him, one of these days, Revelation chapter 20 will take place in your life. He'll look at the book. What's your name, sir? Let's see. All right. You should, let me check it by your middle name. Let me see. I don't see it in here. What is your name? Well, my mama's name. I didn't ask you about your mama's name. What's your name? Well, look for it under my granddaddy. He was a preacher. Look for it under his name. Son, God don't have any grandchildren. He just got kids. What's your name? I don't see it in here. Well, check my baptism. We don't have baptismal records up here. We don't have baptismal certificates. Check it under my vacation Bible school attendance. We don't keep records of vacation Bible school up here. Well, check it under the Sunday school record. We don't have Sunday school records up here. I just need to know your name. I don't see it. Depart from me. I never knew you. And the floor is going to open up, and you're going to be baptized. And there won't be any water involved. Baptism always means immersion. But the context will tell you baptized into what? Sometimes it's water. Sometimes it's baptized in the Holy Spirit. Sometimes it's baptized into His suffering. Sometimes it's baptism into the Holy Spirit, into the body. Sometimes it's baptism by fire. And if you're not saved and not planning on getting saved, everybody gets baptized one way or the other. You either get heat when He comes, He's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost or with fire. And whichever one, that's totally up to you. See, it's real simple. It's not hard about that. Baptism always means immersion. But it all depends on if you want to be immersed into the Holy Spirit, in the body, or be immersed into the lake of fire. All depends. And if you're not saved here tonight, I don't know, on a Wednesday night, I hope everybody's saved. I hope you are. But if you're not, you ought to be, and you need to be, and you can be tonight.